So the workbook has 15 chapters, and we have already done the first half. We did the first half 2 years ago. So we took a survey, and most people said they wanted to just go ahead and finish the book before we went back to the beginning. So that's how we made the decision to do chapters 8 through 15. But you can't just jump into chapter 8 without understanding chapter 1. So chapter 1 is called Laying the Foundation, so we decided to make the class 9 weeks so that we would lay the foundation and then jump up to chapter 8. Come on in. Sorry about the papers. Philip, anyone? I just gave the history of EWIT, which you probably aren't aware of. So chapter 1 is called Laying the Foundation because if we're going to be biblical wives and mothers, we have to be biblical. So we have to understand what that means and what it looks like. And if you didn't have the foundation, then you would just, there'd be a lot of do's and don'ts and do this and don't do that. And every single person tells you something different. Am I right? Mm-hmm. You can read an article online that tells you this is the way to parent. And then another article that's just complete opposite. No, this is the way. And it's like that with every single thing in the world. You can find information on either side. So the goal of this whole workbook is to lay the foundation of where all the principles are found. And then to give you what we like to call a buffet, a buffet of wisdom applications. So some of them you may think, my husband would never let me do that. Okay, that's okay. You don't have to follow everything in the book to be biblical. It's a buffet, and you just like you can't eat everything at a buffet, you need to pick and choose what's best for you, for your body, for your family, so to speak. But there are truths that are unchanging and don't change from one family to the next. And so that begins with an excellent wife having the right foundation that she then builds her home on, so to speak. Proverbs 14:1 says, a wise woman builds her house, and a foolish woman tears it down with her own hands. That's not talking about us being contractors. It's talking about the house of our lives, the people within our home, even, you know, just both practically and spiritually and, in a sense, our attitudes. So all that wraps into your life, your house that you're building, so to speak. Alistair Begg says, allow the Bible to be the grid through which you pour every other idea. So you can picture a colander since your mom's, you know, a painter might picture the little thing they rub their paintbrush on. But you let the Bible be that grid, that mesh that you pour all the ideas that you get from everyone and everywhere and the world, and you pour it through the Bible to get what you really need to lay your foundation. And the truth of the matter is that you're going to spend time on what is truly important to you. We all do. And if, you know, we're able to look at our screen time and we're like, okay, now I know how much time I spent on messaging people. I know how much time I spent just surfing the internet. We couldn't do that before these capabilities. And so we need an opportunity though to take time and look at our lives and say, what am I doing? Because that's what I actually find important. If I'm not doing what God says is important, then I need to relay my foundation. I need to go back to the bottom of the house and make sure it's strong. And if it's not, it's never too late to build that up and support it. So you may not always brush your teeth as often as you did before you had children. but I know you're still eating. I know you're still sleeping, kind of. you're putting on clothes. You're going to church, Lord willing. So for a moment, let's pause and talk about that. Here you are at church. Are you here on Sunday? Are you here when you can be to be bolstered with the Word of God? Sometimes it's hard in the day in and day out to get all your time in the Word, but God, all through the New Testament, you'll notice he talks about the preaching, the teachers, the coming to the house of the Lord, the community, the love for one another, love God, love each other. You don't see huge chapters that are like, this is how you sit down and study your Bible and take it apart. Like, yes, that's assumed. But it doesn't say over and over and over again about your quiet time in your little corner, if you've ever thought about that. But it does talk about the church. It's all about the church. Paul's writing to churches. So that's a reminder to us about how important it is that we're a part of a body, because we all have strengths and weaknesses, and we need each other to fit together each other's strengths into each other's weaknesses to bolster each other up. So I want to read Isaiah 58 to you. I thought about giving you each a verse to look up, but why don't I just have us all turn to them today so that in case you want to highlight it, underline it, go back to it, write it down, you can do that. Isaiah 58, 13 and 14 talks about the importance of honoring the Lord's Day. And we think mostly about Hebrews 10, 24, 25, where it says, don't forsake the meeting together of each other. But all the way back in Isaiah 58, 13 and 14, it says, if you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and you call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways or seeking your own pleasure or talking idly, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth, and I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And my kids and I were reading through the prophets, the major and minor prophets for a year Bible study. Maybe it was two. And we just stumbled across this passage in the middle of Isaiah that I, of course, did not remember was in there. And I was so just encouraged that way back here in the prophets, it's talking about what a blessing it is to honor the Lord, honor his day, honor time in his house. So I wanted to encourage you with that since I stumbled upon it. So I mentioned that you will do what's truly important to you. And if you're not also, besides church, having time alone with the Lord, it's possible that you haven't placed a high enough priority on it. And we, as women, we tend to spend a lot of time thinking and preparing and shopping for our bodies, to clothe them, to make our hair look just so, to make our makeup. What am I wearing? How do I look? Am I working out? And we work hard on that. But in God's word, Paul reminds us that we are to, that our body is just an earthly frame. And our soul is eternal, and that's what needs to be the most beautiful, because it's eternal. Our soul and what we do for the Lord, whether that's raising godly kids, keeping your home, submitting to your husband, listening to the proclamation of the word, those things matter for eternity. And those are the things we want to be shopping for, thinking about, spending time on, so to speak. So Colossians 3:17. Reminds us, and whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So it is very important that you're spending time in the word and glorifying God in that. It's also just as spiritual to change a diaper, amazingly enough. But you have to do both. You can't exchange one for the other, especially for your child's rear. But we do need to do both. So when you think about it, do you know everything that you're going to encounter in a day? We have no foresight. God has not given us any way to truly know what's going to happen next. Do you know the best way to righteously handle every situation your kids or your husband or your home throws at you? If you're like me, the answer is no. So we make so many decisions in a day. We take so many actions. We speak so many words. And we experience numerous temptations day in and day out, minute by minute. And, you know, honestly, all of those things can happen before lunch. Like, the whole world can just explode in your home before lunch ever happens. So we need God's word to guide our path. Psalm 119, 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And God gives us just enough light to lead us down the path, and then he asks us to walk it in faith. So he's given us all and exactly what we need in his scripture, and that lights our path enough, and then we trust him with all those things that are outside that circle of light, things we can't control, things that he has not revealed to us yet, how things are going to end. Those are the secret things that belong to the Lord, but he gives us the light of his word for the path before us, and then he calls us to have faith and to trust him for all those things we don't know are going to happen. But you need to be prepared by knowing what he said in the word, and to have the strength when those decisions come. When a child is screaming at you, how are you going to respond? When things break down, what attitude will you be displaying? When your husband wants you to do something you don't want to do, what your response will be? This book holds the answers to that. And so we have to be digging around in here and mining them out. Now, not all those answers are in Leviticus. We all agree to that. That has its purpose. But there are sections, and many years ago when the women of our church studied Proverbs, we had a mom and child book that we used alongside it called Hidden Treasures. And the point of that is God has sprinkled his wisdom all throughout this book, but he doesn't just have it laying around on the path for you to just pick up and keep on walking. You have to do a little digging, just like for gold. You have to seek the hidden treasure, and God promises that it will be found. And so you need the hidden treasures, the wisdom, the insight that God gives you to walk through those decisions and issues and temptations every day, and to be strengthened for the task. So we each have to ask ourselves right now today, like, what's my temperature? How am I doing? Am I walking in the Spirit so that I will not carry out the deeds of the flesh? Galatians 5:16. And how could you possibly do that unless you don't first set your heart and mind on the Lord, on his greatness, his purpose for you, his word, and seeking him fervently for your needs every day? I had another passage in Isaiah. You guys are back in Colossians, I think, but Isaiah 55:6, I think, might be the secret things, actually. I didn't double check that. No. It's even better. Okay. So Isaiah 55:6 says, seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. So I have been a mama just like you. For those of you who are new, we have six. And so there were very busy, crazy years. I kind of remember Mark, but not really. I remember that it was very laborious, and it was a lot of work, and I had to keep my head down and keep moving forward. And there were spiritually lean times, and there were spiritually strong times. But the weaker times were when I was weaker in the Word, and the stronger times were when I was stronger in the Word. And John MacArthur says, the transformed and renewed mind is the mind saturated and controlled by the Word of God. And as I tell my testimony to people, I like to say I was given a ton of truth. I was raised in the church. I got all the Bible stories. I went to Christian college. I got a minor in Bible. I was taught theology. I went to the church where John MacArthur preached, like just pouring, 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 pouring. And then once we got married and I started having kids, I had a full gas tank, right? But I was using up the gas in the tank. And eventually I got to the point where I was running on fumes because I wasn't refilling the tank, so to speak. So I love that because I'm very visual, you will realize, in the 4 weeks I'm here. I'm very visual. So that helps me, like, am I running on fumes or am I running on full power, high octane gas? Like what's, or am I somewhere in the middle, which is the reality of most of life. But our minds must be saturated and controlled by the Word of God. And that comes by filling that tank repeatedly with truth. Being here today, you're doing that. You've got the nozzle in the gas tank. You're putting in some good fuel. Simply by reminding each other of truth, we're able to do that. All right. Let's see. You might be thinking, I'm not sure I can afford time in my busy day to actually spend time reading. So let's toss around just a few minutes. What are some of the ways you ladies are finding ways to get truth into you during the day?
Have time.
Yeah.
And does that work every day?
No.
5 out of 7?
Wake up a little before the kids. Yeah. Like, wake up before Bill wakes up helps.
In the morning?
Yeah.
Okay. And then nap time, you aim for that.
Nap time and breastfeeding.
Mm-hmm. That seems to be the two downsides.
What a God-given gift, right? Breastfeeding slows us down. Feeding a baby in any way slows us down. Any other ways you're finding, if you can't just sit down and read like this, what are other things you're doing?
Listen as you're driving.
Mm-hmm. What do you listen to when you're driving?
Either the Bible app or I listen to one of the John MacArthur's sermons.
Okay. What were you saying?
Audio, yeah. We do the Immerse. We've been going through the Immerse book, so we just finished Beginnings, and so it's
nice to listen to it first.
I am not familiar with that. They talk about...
Yeah, so it's based on books of the Bible, and it literally just reads books of the Bible, like, in novel form.
Okay.
And so they had Immerse, like, Messiah, which was the whole New Testament, and then they did Beginnings, which was the first five books. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And so we just finished that, and it's nice just to listen to it, you know, and then go back and read through and underline and then do more when you have time. But
yes,
when you don't have time and you're busy, it's nice just to listen to.
So I'm going to write that down. Is that?
Immerse. IMMERSE.
I was like,
EI. It's really nice. They have, and then it's broken down into songs, it's broken down into poems, and so it's kind of broken down into, like, the types of writings that they are. So it's interesting.
Great. Mm-hmm. We'll look into that. Anyone else? What are some other things you have found to help you that maybe aren't what was available 100 years ago?
I blast it Full House when the kids are in school, when I'm doing chores, and I can be in any room in the house, and I can
hear it. I can't get away from it. Nice. Okay.
Even through hymns.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like Seeds Family Worship, like, even when I'm with my kids, because that seems like it's, like, I mean, because it's just straight singing scripture, and it's, like, in kid form, but it gets in my head, too, like, as I'm playing it for them. And then the other one is when I'm at the gym, like, often I'll have, like, when I do cardio, because I do, like, two parts, like, but when I do cardio, like, I have usually, like, a book, or I'm reading through some commentary or, like, doing something like that, too. So, yeah, that's...
Exercise goes by faster.
It does. I'm like, oh, look, I burned 50 calories. There we go.
Me reading the word is a workout. I'm buffeting my body. Yeah. All right, what are some of the things that keep you from spending time in the word, or either just reading, deeper study, Bible study books, those kinds of things, prayer? What keeps you from?
Social media.
Distracts or sucks a lot of time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Laziness. Mm-hmm. The children.
Never ending to-do list.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes sickness, too. Just, and then you're like, what do I spend my energy on? Like, if you just feel so sick, you're like, I don't know. And then you just feel tired, and then, I don't know, I've had that season where I'm like, I'm so sick, and I'm just like, I can't do anything, and I'm like, bedridden, and then it's like, after that, I'm like, well, I'm still tired, like, I'm still needing to get more rest, you know, and it's like, well, that's, I need to, like, I can still, like, do something, like, like, but yeah.
Anything else come to mind?
I think just time management in general, like structuring your day good, because if you don't structure it good, then you're stressed out about your to-do list and appointments and everything, back-to-back meals, everything.
Yeah, just setting the wrong priorities. So sometimes, like, during that nap time, I'm like, oh, I can finally get the house clean, work on stuff, but then it's like, no, you should have, like, a quiet time.
Yeah, one of my favorite phrases, if you aim at nothing, you're sure to hit it. So I generally live by that principle, like, I will at least make some goal. Because if I make no goal, then, yeah, I'll end up on social media, and it's amazing how fast an hour goes.
Yeah.
Okay, so we know that it's a challenge, and we know some really good ideas of what to do. The problem is, in the day in and day out, we're giving in more to the things that either are tyranny of the urgent, have to get done, or feed our flesh. You know, we're either lazy or we'd rather do something more fun. Speaking for myself here, I don't know what your examples are. It's work, right? And so one of the ways that I like to, and you know, for us to encourage each other is just almost that reminder that we are in a battle. That walking through this life and this world, there's not much easy about it. There can be a lot joyful about it, especially with a Christian worldview. We know how it's going to end. We know that God's at work in us every day. That's not in question. But walking through the valleys of the shadow of death, walking through all that we have to do, walking through learning how to be a wife, learning how to be a parent, and that goes on for even when you've been married for a really long time, it's still, you're in the battle. And so I like to encourage you, not necessarily softly, because if you know me, I'm not really soft. you know? So I like the idea of fighting because we are in a battle. And even our BBS this year is about the armor of God. So it's just like a good reminder. We are in a battle. I also picture Pilgrim, Christian in Pilgrim's Progress. And he's walking this path. And if he's not careful, he just lays down in a meadow. And if he's not careful, he's like being, you know, he's like at the stake, you know. And if he's not careful, he's in a pond and he's stuck in the mud. And if he's not careful, he's in, you know, Vanity Fair and there's all these things, lures just calling at him. And if he's not careful, he's in a dungeon of despair. So I think the fight mentality is, you know, I'm not calling you to be warrior women, you know, like the world, so to speak, or some interesting Christian stuff that's out there. But the idea is that we have to fight to have these proper priorities. We have to work at it. But once we start working at it, God has given us this wonderful thing called muscle memory and habit. It can be really bad. We're like, ooh, bad habits. But God gave us the ability to create habits and muscle memory for good purposes. And I know in my life, when I am applying those things, I get so much more done. I feel more accomplished, you know. There's a better sense that I'm accomplishing more in my day. And there's not just that yucky feeling of watching TV all day or being on my phone all day or getting nothing done all day. It just kind of is accompanied with negativity, a negative feeling, because you're not fighting hard to keep your priorities. So, again, it's not, though, just about checking a box. Because some of us are really good at that, too. We're like, we love the boxes. We'll, like, add boxes because we did something, you know?
That's me.
Yes. Where did I get that idea? So, it's not about checking a box. So, it's like, it's about priorities, and you need to go make them. But then you have to constantly fight to make sure you're doing them with the right reasons, right? So, we need to look at our priorities. And I know when Bev Giro, I know she's met with many of you at different times, she really focuses hard on this. Like, okay, what are your priorities? Okay, my relationship with God comes before anything. Like, there is a way I can disobey my husband. It's called obeying God if he asks me to sin. So God is definitely top. And then if you're married, then you have submitted yourself to a husband, and that is how you glorify God, by being a wife and glorifying God in that new role. So you need to prioritize your husband, and different husbands have different levels that they ask of their wives. Some might ask a lot, some might ask very little. Some may be easy to live with, some may be hard. That's what God has ordained for you. And so different women have different priorities after that, depending on how that level is. Then you have your children. How many did he give you? One, two, six, eight, nine was in your family. So that's your next priority. So just constantly keeping a temperature on how am I doing with that. And I don't even like to just put God like up at the top in his own little box, because it's God in my marriage, and it's God in my parenting, and it's God in my homemaking. It's God when I'm changing my diapers and what's my attitude. It's God in serving at the church and pushing myself to maybe do a little bit more than I want to or I think I can. Or maybe I'm doing too much at church and I need to pull back. So it's God in all those things and all those priorities. And in his presence, you will find true energized power to live for him. And you can pray continually for God's presence, for his help, and to lean on what he says in Philippians 4:6, which is to be anxious for nothing. Because when we look at the list, we will lose grace very fast, right? We don't have grace for the what-ifs. We don't have grace for what might happen. We don't even have grace to look at the whole long to-do list. We put the priorities in order, and we start moving forward, fighting to keep those in line, taking the temperature on them, and not being anxious. Because do not fear is from cover to cover in here. And that is can be a particular weakness of women, which is a chapter in the workbook that we already covered. Not in this summer. But fear is so big that we have a whole chapter about women and fear. All right, so let me encourage you. You can start attempting all the household and family organization, all the management, getting a schedule put together, all the things that we might talk about even in this book and in this summer. You can get busy doing that. But without the foundation, without tapping into what you already have, which is all things pertaining to life and godliness, from God. Without the power of Christ working in you, without being spirit filled, you will probably struggle and fail. And God can use our struggles and our failures to build us up for the next time. I see him do that every day in my life. But he does say in Isaiah, that verse said, seek his face today. Seek his help and take steps of obedience to his word and see his faithfulness to you through that. So I just realized I was going to do this whole intro thing with you guys introducing yourselves to each other, and I didn't. So yes, we'll do that at the end. Just ran right on by that. Oh, that's funny. Okay, so we started at 9:30. It is 10. So we are going to talk about some more how-tos, and then we're going to get to these pages, and I'll explain those. But let's talk through some how-tos of building our foundation for the next 20, 30 minutes. A.W. Tozer said, whatever keeps me from my Bible is my enemy, however harmless it may appear to be. So think for a few minutes, what are some enemies that keep you from your Bible? We've talked about some, but even as you think about it as an enemy.
I know for me, like, discontentment, and that is like the root of it, but then it manifests itself in going to social media, going to look in the refrigerator, like even working, I can do those things because I'm discontented about something that's happening in my life. Like, I wish I had more me time. I wish, you know, and it's so subtle, like all these lies that I believe. But then as I'm looking at it and seeing more, like how it's, the branches like come off, like it can look like it's something good, like a good fruit, like, oh, I'm working in the house, or, you know, I'm just like checking up on my friends on social media, or, you know, well, I have to eat something. But am I doing that in an attempt to distract myself from the heart issue of, you know, like, I need to deal with the Lord on this? Like, am I just trying to silence that? Or am I doing this because it's actually beneficial? Mm-hmm. And so, like, that's where I've been, like, really thinking about the last, like, 3 weeks or so. It's like, that's a huge pitfall for me. And so I've tried to, like, cut that off for now and just try to see the ways that I'm trying to fill that space that I know I should be, you know, memorizing more scripture or praying for people or, you know, reading the Bible more, digging deeper in my Bible study. And so, I don't know. It's just, that's been something that I've really been thinking about a lot lately. But that,
so
really,
you're talking about discontentment is one of the things that is an enemy to you running to the Word for your source of strength.
Yeah.
But we could even generalize that bigger and just say sin keeps us from going to the Word of God. So when we have a sin pattern and we're like, where's God? You know, you feel distance from God. It's always a reminder he never moves. He never changes. So we have pulled away, and we, through our sin or because of our sin or in sin, we pull away and then we feel distance from him. So we don't want to go hear what he has to say. We don't want to talk to him in prayer. So oftentimes, you're exactly right, that our sin is our greatest enemy, right? The thing that keeps us, that ruined the relationship in the garden and caused that disfellowship, and is one of the main things that keeps us from it. We talked about, you know, just our temptation to be lazy, to feed the flesh, to seeing our to-do list as more important than our spiritual to-do list. Are there any other things that you can think of that's an enemy?
The only thing I can think of is sometimes not protecting your home environment as much as you should, like letting outside influences or stressors affect your day-to-day schedule and the family life, mm-hmm. and then it kind of affects everything, whether it's your prayer life or spiritual life, because you're so stressed out about some outside situation or something, or, you know, just outside things, sure. instead of, I don't know, being the guardian of the home more.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's good.
Yeah, I would say, like, for me, for sure, one of the big things is we were talking about, you know, you're talking about stressors, we were talking about, like, kind of the lies we tell ourselves, and it's especially when we have big, huge church events, and I'm so busy. I'm there every day. I'm like doing everything, you know, I'm like trying to get every little thing ready
for
in
Lord,
order
right?
for the Lord, for the church. And then I go home and I'm like, man, I am so tired. I've earned it. I'm going to go to bed, you know, and it's like, oh, that's probably not what I need to get. You know, it's like, okay, yes, I'm there. I'm doing things, but like, am I spending personal time with him? Like, mm-hmm. am I doing what I need to be doing?
That is such a good point, Michelle. I am so thankful you said that because, you know, there's a lot of doers in this room. I'm looking at all the faces of even the regulars here. We all work hard at this church, and it can be easy to say, I am serving the Lord. And then that's it, you know? And we can get snippy with other people when we're trying to run events and we're not anchored in the Word. We can be focused on getting praise instead. So, but even just the doing of spiritual things can be an enemy of your growth and your foundation. So, you know, whether it's checking boxes or accomplishing lists, whether it's in your home or even for the church, everything good we humans have that ability to destroy. Look what I'm doing for you, Lord. And he's like, hey, I wish you were near me.
Yeah.
You're saying it with your lips, but your hearts are far from me, is another scripture. So I don't remember the reference to that right now. So again, I told you about the gas tank that was running on fumes as my kids were young, and thankfully, at least there were some fumes there. I didn't completely ruin them, the children. I was able to impart scripture in them, but there came a point where I remember the point. I like to say I was lost in the forest for the trees. And it's like we were at Williamsburg once, and there was an old English maze out behind the governor's palace. And there's one person can climb up the steps and look at the maze and be like, go right, you know, go right. And that was Mark for a while. He was just like, I'm just like, oh! He's like, hey! It was the wrong way. But even in my own heart, like, I was like, okay, my job is to discipline my children. Here's the law. Child disobeys. Go to the bathroom. You're going to get disciplined. You know, like, one after the other. They were, like, all lined up in the hallway sometimes. And it became, like, just this kind of rote thing. You disobey. Why am I disciplining you? Because I love you. And it was just like, I had lost, like, there was a lot of them, okay? And I lost, like, really just the heart and soul of it there in the middle, and that their sin wasn't against me, and I was giving them consequences for that. I had to pull my heart and my mind all the way back to, I'm doing this for the Lord, I'm doing this for their hearts, for their souls. Mm-hmm. And so I had to realize that. And I had to realize that my foundation was starting to crumble too. So I had to go back and start putting in the braces and the supports to re-pour some concrete into the cracks in the foundation. Told you I was visual. So those were some pretty skimpy years, like with the Lord, when my kids were small. And I didn't see where I could fit in Bible reading and prayer. I always did read the Word with the children, at least. So it was skimpy. It wasn't zero, but it was like, okay, we're all reading the proverb of the day. We're all doing this or that. And so it was helpful, but it wasn't, I could have gotten up 15 minutes early. And actually Linda Masella, who has taught this before, convicted me the most once I met her and my kids were older. And she's like, you know, is sleep more important to you than reading the Word of God? You can't get up 15 minutes earlier. And I was like, okay, yeah, I failed at that. I definitely decided sleep was more important. So, you know, we have to evaluate those things. And hindsight can be perfectly 20/20 vision. And I can see that my priorities just weren't straight enough. And I like to compare it to, I was sipping skim milk when I could have been drinking, like, straight cream right out of the cow. Like, there's there's a big difference. So, again, it wasn't that I had zero, which is, it could be zero, but it was just very weak and it wasn't nourishing enough for the job of tending six little hearts and my husband and my home and my church life. And so I want to encourage you. I mean, that's why I wrote this. You know, like, this is what I'm sharing from my experience, that I struggled and I was coasting on fumes. And I want to give you a shot, you know, in your arm this first day of June, summer 2023, to encourage you to be filling your tank, to be strengthening your foundation, and then for the rest of the summer, just giving you just practical ways to take this theology and apply it into even the mundane aspects of life, you know, to plug it into when you're teaching your children self-control and when you're working on chores. It feels like a battle. I used to say, trying to get, like, all my kids through the schedule I had made and through each one of their chores was like pushing, like, Play-Doh through a colander. It was just like, this is so hard. But I knew that that was the only way we were going to get anything done. And so I want to encourage you, and I want to push you through the colander if I can. Adults tend to be a little, you know, more willing. So let's talk for a bit about personal devotions. No, this is just my sheet. So we talked about the why and the what, and now I want to talk about the how to. So when it comes to personal time in the Word, you're never going to want to do that, number one, if you're not a believer. So are you a believer? We have to start there. This whole workbook, these studies this summer, are intended for the believer. There's an assumption that you're coming to this as a Christian. It's not intended to evangelize unbelievers. I just like to make that clear. So one of the most helpful things for actually spending time, consistent time in the Word, if you have the ability to sit down, and it's not like because you're working and you have to listen, so precluding that, is to find a consistent place. There's that whole habit and muscle memory thing. You have this cozy chair, you have your blanket, you always bring your hot drink, your books are in a basket or stacked nearby. Okay, this is how you help yourself succeed, is to have a consistent place. Who has a consistent place? Over half of you. Fantastic. And do you find that that has helped you immensely? So you kind of slip into that place and your whole spirit is like, okay, this is where you're going to get fed. It's like pulling up to the gas station. This is the spot. Here's the hose. Let's go. keeping what you need nearby. So if you have stuff strewn all over the house, which I currently do, I'm guilty of this right now. I've got stuff at this desk, I've got stuff by this couch, and I sit down on some other couch, and now all I have is my social media on my phone. Problematic. So keep what you need nearby. Pretty basket, a shelf, whatever, next to this consistent place, if that's what works for you, with your Bible study, your notebook, your journal, your prayer cards, whatever it might be, just set yourself up for success is the idea there. And then to find the best time of day to go to this spot and learn from the Word. So how many of you tend to be first thing in the morning before you interact with most people in your house kind of time in the Word person? And why do you like that?
I don't, but I need to do it. I do not want to do it. That's why I have to have my second time at the gym. I'm like, okay, I'm just like still trying to wake up. But I'm like, hold on, I haven't done my Bible study yet. I can't talk to you.
Has anyone ever gotten mad at their children when they got interrupted during their Bible study?
Yes.
This was something that never crossed my mind until my kids were like in high school, that they could actually like be in the room while I was studying the Word. That was like, I'm like, no, I must be alone. They must be in their beds. They must be either asleep or at nap, other than when we did it corporately. But they're one of my, the only person I have ever like paparazzied in my life, stalked. I drove to her house and asked her to take a picture with her. I did. It's the only person. Her name is Pam Forrester, and she writes all the parenting doorpost material. True hero of the faith. And she came out with these Bible studies called Busy Mama's Bible Studies. And they walk you through, but then she literally tells you in there how to take what you learned and teach it to your children at their level. Or what they can be doing at the same time you're doing yours, and you all end up doing the same thing. And honestly, it blew my mind because I was like, quiet time means no children, like for my time in the Word. So I either have to get up early, and that wasn't happening for some of the seasons, or I have to do it during nap time, and then I had kids that didn't take naps anymore. And what was I going to do with them? So sometimes our brains are just, we either can't think of things or we're just so tired that we can't think of things. And so that's why it's neat to cross-pollinate, so to speak, with other people's ideas. And if you've never looked at the doorpost site, it's a little dated. However, She has so many good materials on there. I sold them at homeschool convention for a couple of years because I love them so much. Character training, Bible studies for you that also have the child application, including Hidden Treasures, which is a walk through Proverbs, and it has coloring sheets for your children that you could copy. And then the training charts, which you'll probably be taught in a couple of weeks, that are what I call parent consistency charts more than child obedience charts because we need to be consistent. So Pam Forrester blew my mind when my kids were older that could have been accomplished. It never occurred to me. So personal devotions, those were some ideas. Again, we're talking about a buffet of ideas. We've talked about listening to the Word of God. There's also, so you're either listening to sermons, you can listen to the scripture being read. It's kind of ridiculous how easy it is to access the Word of God in our generation. I remember as a child hearing about people in other countries who had one page of the Bible, and they knew that one page inside and out, and that never left my mind. Like, I don't think I know any part of the Bible that well. What if I only had one page? Like, how much would I treasure that? So I constantly think about that. Now let's talk about reading and studying ideas. So you know you need to read the Word of God. You know you need it for your foundation. You know you need to have a place if possible, or you know a certain time you need to do it. Now what do you do? Right? It's all fun and games till you sit down and you're like, Leviticus just isn't filling my cup today, Lord. And I've got a child that's going to wake up in 15 minutes. Where do I go? What do I do? And if you're like me, there was so much going on in my brain that I couldn't adhere my brain to things sometimes. So one of John MacArthur's number one ideas is to choose one short book of the Bible and to read that same section every day for 30 days. Simple enough, right? So, for example, the book of Titus, 3 chapters. You can read it in 15 minutes, I think. You read it every day for 30 days. You are going to know the book of Titus like the back of your hand, or whatever. So that is one way you can do it. If it's a bigger book, say you're reading Romans, because that's what we're studying at church, you can just do 3 chapters a day. And so you do like 1 through 3, 4 through 6, and then you just keep cycling that for a whole month or maybe 2 months. You can be creative if you have any creative brain cells left during that time. Another fantastic idea, I did this with my kids on a couple different years, was read a chapter of Proverbs every day, because there are 31 chapters in Proverbs and there are 31 days in most months. So my kids and I did it for a whole year, 2 different times at least throughout their childhood. And, you know, it brings up some dicey things sometimes in the book of Proverbs. You've got immoral women. You've got men enjoying their husband's bodies. You've got all kinds of fun things to skip over, to make lightly of, to just smile and nod because they miss it. But that is the Bible. The Bible is bloody, and it is gory, and it is shocking. Don't shy away from those things, but you don't have to go into detail either with your children when they ask a question. There are simple answers. So you could do a proverb for yourself even, or with your children, every day for a month, for a year. Or you could read a psalm a day. That's 150, what is that, near half of a year. You could go through all the psalms twice, although Psalm 119 might take a couple days. So you could do a psalm a day. You could go through a read through your Bible in a year plan. How many of you have done that? Did you enjoy that? Was it hard? Would you do it again?
I enjoyed it because, honestly, full disclosure, I probably read books I never usually would go for.
Right.
So, so you actually read a lot. And
you're like, is that the guy?
Yeah. It's like your Bible knowledge definitely helps, so.
That is so true. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, one of my sweetest memories now is I made a goal, I think it was 2 years then. Lizzie had 2 years before she left for college, and I was like, let's read through the Major and Minor Prophets, because they're covered in 1 week in Generations of Grace here at our church. So our children have, like, I think it's 1 week, correct me if I'm wrong, they have, like, this much of the Bible is all condensed into 1 week. And so I thought, okay, my kids have the Old Testament stories, they have the New Testament, they're getting theology from the pulpit. We don't really know the prophets. And so that is such a great point. Like, there's so much that we aren't familiar with, and that is just one of the sweetest things that I did with the kids, reading the prophets in those last 2 years that Lizzie was home. And again, we had some interesting discussions, because now I've got a bunch of teenagers, and there's one particular chapter, I think it's Ezekiel 16, that uses the word whore about 17 times. And Jacob's like, la, la, la. And we're like, okay, why does God include this? You know, like, you get to keep, it forces you to talk about things with your kids you don't want to talk to them about. And you're like, God, this is godly. We have to talk about this. Why does God say this? Why is he comparing Jerusalem to a whore? Like, it's reality. Mm-hmm. We want to shy away from it, but we shouldn't. Just like the week we're talking about intimacy and why you should be here. So reading through your Bible in a year plan is, I'm like, wow, what an accomplishment. I mean, that is a box worth putting a gold star in, that you have read the whole Bible. You get to read things you don't normally read, things you don't normally go to. What else? What was good or what was hard about it?
Reading through, like, Deuteronomy, it was just like, I'm not following, so I had to reread what I just read, and it was like pushing myself to actually do it.
Yeah.
Next day and the day after.
It's like, you come about March, you're like, I'm done with this reading through the Bible in a year plan.
Yeah.
So yeah, that has constantly been a temptation to me. It's just like, I'm unmotivated.
Yeah, it's like, am I really getting the food I need for the day by just reading this? You know, especially the history part. Mm-hmm. It's like, maybe I should read something from the New Testament just to add something, you know?
It's really a great thing to grapple with. Like, those things are just as inspired as Paul's writings. Like, wow, okay, there's a point. Every verse in here was given to me for a reason.
Yeah. But that's how you have to tell yourself.
Yeah.
It's for a reason. You have to learn something from it, even though you don't really see it.
Yeah.
Until later in the day.
Yeah. So we can talk about it more later, but there might be other things you need to be doing, especially alongside just reading through the Bible, so that you have something to walk away with. So primarily I'm thinking about, you're memorizing something from that's applicable for, like, life application verse while you're reading through the challenging stuff. Mm-hmm. And God's teaching you endurance.
Yeah.
Anyone else about that?
Yeah. So I felt, because I am a box checker, it felt like I was trapped, like, because there was so much, like, reading per day. And if I wanted to sit and, like, read more about something else, like, I could, like, I felt trapped to the plan. and then you would get behind, and then it was just like this, I always felt dissatisfied when I got done. Like, I didn't do what I set out to do. And so, like, it was a little too much for me. Like, I needed something a little more, like, because I would have so many questions when I would read. I'm like, what am I reading? And it's like, well, now you have to flip to another book of the Bible and read more about this. And I'm like, well, what is it? Like, I don't know what this is. So I just, it felt like it was more confusing to me than just, I would have, like, taking one book of the Bible and chewing on it, like, over and over and over again kind of thing. So I've tried it before, and I always thought, like, what's wrong with me? Like, maybe other people don't have questions, like, when they read, or I don't know. It was discouraging to me.
Yeah, so one of the things I want to encourage you about that is, there may be seasons where that works for you, and a time with young children and you're particularly in the battle may not be that time, but it seems super godly, right? So I want to relieve you of that. Like, you don't have to be reading your Bible through your Bible in a year, every year, to be godly. There may be, it may be when your kids are older that that's something really good for you to do, or to even do with them. But I know these are the kinds of thoughts that I have through the years. There aren't more or less godly things. What's important is that you're growing. What's important is that you are taking the time to do something. And Sinclair Ferguson says, we are to work at Bible study. The scriptures do not disclose their riches to lazy minds and hearts. So we realize we do need to be active, and we need to not have lazy minds and hearts, but if we're really struggling with what we've chosen to do, it's okay to change course. That's more important, to quit 3 months into a year Bible plan, even though you told everyone on social media you were doing it. Better to quit and find what you need at that time that your mind can chew on and grow in. You might need to, you know, go find a Bible study, ask a discipler, you know, go through something with a discipler so you have that accountability and it's helping you impress it into your daily application. There's lots of options, so don't feel locked in or limited.
Jill, one of the things I did with my kids, there's a read through the Bible in chronological order.
Oh, yeah.
With a little bit of commentary as you start each day, and that just kind of helped us get that big overall picture.
Mm-hmm. So in that, when you're reading through the more challenging historical books, that commentary helps you mm-hmm. hang it on hooks in your mind, so to speak. Mm-hmm.
And so then, you know, David, you get some of his psalms in, so it was...
Yeah. That's a MacArthur mm-hmm. Bible, isn't it? The chronological? Mm-hmm. I think he has one, but others
yes,
have one.
Right.
That's good enough.
Great. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. It just made it a little bit more interesting to see how it all
fit together.
Fits in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So besides studying the Bible, what else is super important for our foundation?
Prayer.
Prayer. So that's the other thing we're going to talk about. So prayer suggestions. I was recently talking to one of the mamas at our church, and she said, I need some help with prayer. I was like, okay. How? Like, what specifically? And she's like, just all of it. Like, I feel weak. How can I do it better? Is there a book? And so I was like, okay, wow, there's a lot of books. And I brought two here that are helpful. So the Valley of Vision are Puritan prayers, and this has just been a standby. Mark and I used to read one on the way to church when it was just the two of us, and there were people crying in the car. And we would like, oh, you know, it's all thematic, and the Puritan prayers are just... honestly, so much deeper than ours. And I started this book, and you can see why I haven't finished it. It's excessively thick. But if you're good at persevering, this is it. This is the book on prayer. There's much smaller books by Spurgeon and MacArthur and others. There's sample prayers by pastors. But what I ended up sending her was just, you know, the Lord leads. Praise the Lord. I sent her a book called Prayers of the Excellent Wife. I did not bring it today. I looked everywhere. I couldn't find it. my bookshelves are hidden by all the furniture that's going in the new pastoral offices right now. So I was like, I can't find it. So let me see if I can show you a picture of it. And it's funny because she was asking me for a book on prayer, but I ended up sending her a book of prayers. And it turned out, she said, to be exactly what she needed. So that is... I'm thrilled. So this is what it looks like. His name is Andrew Case. Prayers of the Excellent Wife, which goes along great with our name. He has a book on prayers of the mother, and then there's one for husbands on prayers of a whatever husband. Andrew Case again. What I found is all the books are basically the same book. He just changed the words and the pronouns, and there are some differences between husband, wife, and then the children book. But I would say you only need one of these, and you can switch it around. Why? What do I love about it, and why did she end up loving it? I said, I think this book would be good for you because every chapter in the book, he starts the prayer with a different name of God. That's something I taught my kids, like the names that we went through, the Children Desiring God book called God's Names. And I introduced the kids to all the different names of God and how specific they are. Which aspect of God are we calling upon in this prayer? So I like that because it teaches you how to address God more personally. And then just the way he weaves scripture into very practical prayers for you, for your husband, for your children, for your husband to pray for you. I like to read the books that are for husbands because then I realize like how he can be, how I need to be, if that makes sense. So you could get any one of those, maybe start with that one, and it would basically be the same for praying for your children. But it's all scripture and then how he has walked that out in a prayer for you to use. And so it's just a very, like, this is a theology of praying, but the prayers of the Excellent Wife are more like this one, where they're actual prayers to help model for you what your prayers could and should look like. As well, I highly recommend the ACTS prayer style. This might be on, yeah, we'll talk about that on the application page. Don't look yet. Don't look. So here are some suggestions for prayer. I will just, you can write down any that sound great for you. I'll just walk through them and then we'll see if you have any others. Have a set time of day, like with Bible study time, to pray alone with God when the kids aren't awake. Why do we need to pray again? What are we doing? What's happening?
I'm working on our relationship with God. It's communication.
Yeah.
We have a relationship with God, so that's how we're talking to him.
That's right. So he's talked to us, and we read that, and then we're communicating with him. And was someone going to say something else? Okay, so we need to talk to him, or we don't really have a relationship with him. And in the talking to him is where we are often revealed what our fears are, what our weaknesses are. We give them to him, and he has promised to hear our prayers and to carry our burdens and to answer our prayers when they are in line with his will. So we always like to pray in if it is your will. More prayer suggestions. Pray with your kids at every meal. You are teaching them. Years and years of modeling for them and then starting to have them start doing it and then helping them. No joke. I mean, if there was a form, I probably would have used it. But like, okay, children, did you pray that? Okay, now you need to work on that. When we pray with our children at home, we prepare them for being prayers in the church. Oftentimes there's women who don't want to pray in public. And I think some of that is personality. But some can also be, you were never taught. So we need to teach our children how to pray. Make them comfortable within the home environment so that when they get to youth group and older, there's a comfortability because they've already learned how to communicate with God. And it's less about what people are hearing and more like, you know, people are joining me as I pray to God, which is the idea of corporate prayer. Okay, I'm praying and you all are actually just listening in on a conversation and we are agreeing together. Amen means I agree. So start when your kids are tiny, they're in their high chair, you're praying before the meal and teaching them how to be thankful. You're teaching them how to fold their hands, how to close their eyes for self-control, how to be quiet when others pray. And also I would have them repeat after me. When they were really struggling, I'd say, okay, I will pray. Every sentence I'll stop and you'll repeat it like a translator. These are just the practical methods for praying and teaching them. But the actual like formal teaching was not at the table. It was more during like a family devotion time. In our house, we had what I call the kid of the day. We had six kids. It worked out great. Everyone had a kid of the day and then there was God's day. That child, the child of the day was the one who prayed at the meals and at Bible time. So it worked out well. They knew it was there. I mean, Mark will still sit down at the table. He's like, who's the kid of the day? We're like, they moved. It's you, Dad. Or my parents will come over. We're like, it's Grammy's day. She's praying. So that was just a fun thing that we did. They got privileges and responsibilities on that day, and praying was one of them. Keep cards for each day of the week and spread out your prayer list to make it more manageable. If you do want to look at the sheet that is page 12, there's an example there of what these cards could look like. Down at the bottom of page 12, a prayer card sample. So you could have, now this is one card, you would probably need 12 per day of the week, but on Monday, you've always prayed for your pastors and leaders and your oldest child and church members with the last name of A to D. This does not mean you have to do all of this. This is a recommendation. Some families will literally pray through the church directory. I never did that. I didn't hear that idea until about 4 years ago. I was like, oh, what a great idea. So on Mondays, it's A through D. Or you keep everyone's Christmas cards and you put them on a ring. I know Lucy does this. She hole punches the Christmas cards, puts them on a ring. It's near the dinner table, and they pray for the families and the families that have sent them Christmas cards, missionary cards from the rack out here. There's so many ways to help us remember how to pray. I know every Monday that Bev is praying for me because Mark's a pastor. And she's like, I've got pages now of like rag prayer requests. And so that's just so special when you tell people that you do that as well. you now know what day of the week someone's praying for you. Super sweet. Then you can have, you know, government and child number two, older relatives, child three, your neighbors, unsaved family, your husband, parents, etc. So this is just an idea of different things that you could do. Index cards were one of God's greatest gifts to mankind, unless you have like a journal with dividers. Any other ideas that you guys have used to know who and what to pray for?
Didn't you have an app or something?
Yeah, we do. We have, it's called a prayer app, and we use that, what's it called? I just click on it. It's just the prayer right here. It has the hands. And all of our small group, use this right here. I'm trying to figure out what the name of it. Sorry, I haven't opened it in a little bit. I've been bad. Prayer meet. Yeah, M-A-T-E. It's a yellow background with hands. And not only can you pray for your small group members and for your church members, but there's also prayer requests that people send in, like anonymously worldwide. And you can just get on there and pray for these people that you see as well. So
it's a place that people put their prayer requests instead of like on a whole church app?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, so we actually have that here. If most of you, I think, are on the church app. So those, it's neat to see people say, I'm praying for you, I'm praying for you. So encouraging.
The last church we went to, at the beginning of the month, in the bulletin, they gave us all the names, like say we're praying for all the families, last name A. So they gave us all the names, last name, first name, kids' names, and we actually had the names to pray for all the families that whole month, and they had actually the calendar, every single name is a new family. Uh-huh. It was really neat, helpful, because there's it was a very big church, so you couldn't possibly know everybody. But
so it was big, but they printed those papers?
They printed it on the bulletin, so like the first Sunday of the month, it was like calendar format, here's the day you pray for this family, and they have all their names. Mm-hmm. It was really helpful.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you said they went through that weekly or monthly?
Monthly.
So monthly, because it was so big.
Yeah, it was okay. In the alphabetical order throughout the whole year, but every day, well, like one specific family was being
prayed
at.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was really,
really cute. I like that idea.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're like, I am May 19th.
Yeah.
They're going to be a really
You're like, that was such a great day. Or you're like, wow, that was a rough day. Apparently I need those prayers.
Like, that's how we all year again.
Who's praying for patience?
I love it. Yeah, our old church had a calendar too, and it was like the calendar of birthdays and anniversaries, but on the back was the specific requests that people put on the cards that you turn in, and mostly it was like unsafe family, you know, or like ongoing health. Because then there's like all the day-to-day, but unsafe, people that were specifically being prayed for, and people with ongoing prayer requests and stuff like that. So, yeah, that is something we haven't actually done here, and probably someone not Kristen would have to do that. So that would be exciting. I like that.
We have a large older population at our church, and we're currently doing a prayer board where people can put their prayer requests either anonymously or whatever, and then answer prayers. Uh-huh. And so you can just move it over with like a pin tack, or you know what I mean,
yeah,
like a push pin. And so you can move it over like that, and that works a lot. A lot of people don't have phones that are accessible. Our median age is like 79 at my church. So our median age is 79 at our church. There's a whole 18 of us young people. So we're working on more user-friendly stuff at our church for the older generation. But I think it would be cute to see the answered prayers.
Yeah.
We don't always get to see that.
That's true.
It's fun to hear the encouragement of what other churches are doing. That's another thing, to have a journal where you keep, you know, say you're a Bible study and you write down prayer requests, and then you constantly go back, and it's a good way to remember to follow up with people to see if the prayer's been answered and to rejoice, because the prayers are always answered. They're not always answered the way people prayed for them, requested for them, but they are always answered, and it's just such a great way to remember the faithfulness of the Lord and to see Him constantly at work. I used to say when our church was tiny and there were like 45 to 100 of us. Sarah was here. Sarah was here. Sarah was here before me. We had such specific needs in our church that you could clearly see God move and answer those things and do those things. We would be like, wow, we're missing this like spiritual gift in our church. Like, who's the Lord going to send? And then he would send somebody. And they kept coming from all over America, not even from in town. And it was just jaw-dropping just to be in such a small church at that time to see each of those individual things. So as the church grows, and we're like at the size now we are now, we're at a much larger church, you can't necessarily see those intimate details unless you're super like involved in knowing the details, and then you see how God provided something. That's why we need the smaller and smaller and smaller groups, even like this one, where we can see how God is. There's no question he's moving. But sometimes the bigger the church, you don't see that quite as detailedly, especially if you're not looking for it. So that's just an encouragement. It has nothing necessarily to do at the moment. But one of the things I want to encourage you in is when you promise to pray for someone, do it immediately. Mm-hmm. Like as soon as you walk away, because you told them, I will pray for you. How many times have we told someone we're going to pray for them and we never did? Mm-hmm. So I was encouraged a long time ago, and I tried to do this. Either pray with them. How about that? Grab their hands and pray with them right then. Pray for them as soon as you get in your car and you drive away. But that's just a great way to fulfill your promise to them that you're going to talk to God about it as well. You could pray with your husband before going to sleep at night. Some couples do that. Pray with your kids in the car every time an ambulance passes. I like to pray for whatever situation is going on and the people involved and for salvation if that is on the line. Seek to make prayer your first response in crisis. The call comes, something happens, is your first response to cry out to God. Seek to make prayer your first response in a moment when you're lacking wisdom. Lord, help me. He knows the rest of everything you can't express in the moment, but you can cry out to him for wisdom. When you are tempted to be frustrated or angry at people around you, make prayer your first response. Cry out to God verbally in these situations so that your kids can hear. And they can hear what sinners do with sin. They can hear what those in trial do as believers. They cry out to their God. Go ahead and model it. Do it out loud. And pray with your kids before you drop them off. Say you're on your way to church. When we lived in Jupiter, Florida, there was a clock tower 3/4 of the way to church. So we started to think, when we reach the clock tower, we're going to start praying for our time at church. It was like 2 minutes left. So I would start praying for the kids and how they were going to do in their classes and how they were going to obey and that we would hear God's word. And then, you know, kid of the day could always pray too if you had something like that. Pray for them before you drop them off, that they'd be with them, that they'd be a blessing. We like to pray when we lose things, that God would help us find them. Read about prayer. There are biographies about people who were known for their prayer. Corrie Ten Boom, George Mueller, Cameron Townsend. George Mueller especially will convict you a lot. So any other ideas you would like to share about prayer in our last few minutes?
Something my dad would do with us every year, it was like our New Year's resolution thing, is he would buy us all as kids journals. It was a prayer journal by YWAM, Youth with a Mission. And it was kind of our exciting thing to start off the year. We'd each get a different color.
Fresh.
Yeah, so we each got our prayer journal. He would do calligraphy and do our name in it, so it was like a big deal. And it kind of combined reading the Bible and prayer. It was a prayer journal, but it would have every single chapter of the Bible in the back with a checkbox. So as you were reading, like each day it would have a page where you could write out a prayer or like a spiritual note. It would have verses. So if you were on a Bible plan, it's not just, you know, going through in order. It would do the New and Old Testament, but you'd follow that plan and you could read the Bible in a year. And then you could check it in the back. But you could write out your prayers. It would highlight different missionaries, different parts of the world. Very helpful if you needed more structure. But that was something that left a huge impression for me, and our dad started that.
That's sweet.
And same thing, like just a pattern of every day when I would read the Bible, I would have that notebook, I'd write down prayers. I haven't done it since I've had kids, and I need to do it again just to write out now my prayer requests as a mom and wife. And
as kids, we would look back on like our birthday or something and see if he was praying for us on that day.
Yeah, our dad has like 15 years worth of these journals, and so we'd look back to see if he wrote something about our birthday, if we got mentioned in his journal.
That's funny. My daughter bought me this prayer journal. It's a 5-year prayer journal. So it has for each, you know, find a blank one. My nephew's birthday. It's blank. But so it has an opportunity for 5 years. And so I know my Lizzie, she is so, what's the word? She's like consistent. She has the last 2 years completely filled out. Like every day. And she's super good at that. Mine's more like hit and miss. Okay, here's where, you can tell I was struggling because I had my first. So this is fun because it's every day of the year, and then you would be looking back and seeing, oh wow, that was totally answered. You know, like I was really struggling. So that's fun and a fun gift. I know they have them for 1 year. This happens to be a 5-year. So there's so many fun things out there, of course, you can spend money on, or you even don't have to, you know, just whatever you find works for you. Just find something that works. The last thing I want to talk about is on page 13 of the pages I handed out to you, and that's the ACTS prayer style. And I have what I wanted to teach my kids how to pray this way because we were doing it at Women's Bible Study, and I could never remember more than like 3 names of God to adore him with. Or like, what am I thankful for? You get like in these patterns, and my kids are like, thank you for this day. I'm tired of hearing that. God must be tired of hearing that. And so I sat down one day and I like wrote out and all the names of God I could remember and find. And I wrote out a million things to be thankful for. And I wrote out specific confessional things. I didn't bring that sheet today. My bad. But that helped me when my brain was, you know, fuzzy. And then I would give it to women. But also I'd give it to my children to help when you're not sure what to say. So the ACTS prayer style is just ACTS is just a way to remember how to pray. So this is what I would teach my kids at Bible time. Okay, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to adore God. So you can do this on your own, like just go in order. Or with my kids, we all went around and prayed adoration of God. That's all you were allowed to pray was an adoration of God. And we would often start with the scripture. We'd read like Psalm 95:6. And then we would pray or take turns praying only things that praise God's name. There was no asking, there was no confessing, there was no thanking. It was just, this is who you are, and this is my worship of you. Then we would do the C of ACTS, confession, reading James 5:16, and then we would go around and confess sin. Then there's thanksgiving, and there's a scripture there for that, and we would only say what we were thankful for, and then there was the request, which is, the word for that is supplication, and making a request known to God. And so anytime I even pray in a group, I literally try to walk through this. Don't always include confession, because that's always very personal, and you don't have to do that in a group. And it would probably be more comfortable if you don't. But that doesn't mean you can't. But the going in order of praising an attribute of God, thanking him, and then making a request is basically, I just pray that way all the time now. So, because it becomes, again, muscle memory. So I highly recommend that for you and to enhance your prayers and to teach your children that. And then you can always, always pray scripture. And that's what's at the bottom of this sheet. Praying the word or singing. Shane and Shane has psalms that are very close to the actual scripture, not exact. But I frequently can remember psalms now because I started listening to them sing them. Of course, you have seeds. You have, what's one for adults? Anyway, there's scripture memory songs. I know when we were studying Psalm 119 as a women's Bible study, I think it's called Exodus Music. They literally have a song for every stanza of Psalm 119. And so that's really fun. And
it's called Exodus?
Exodus Music. It's on Apple Music.
I've never heard of it.
I only found it because someone told us that that particular company did Psalm 119. Mm-hmm. And some people actually memorized the whole chapter of 176 verses.
Oh, my goodness.
So, for example, here's a scripture, Psalm 8, that you could pray to God. The last page that you have is other recommended resources on prayer and on Bible study and on even being a good listener at church. That's expository listening. And then some apps. Michelle gave us some. I'm still saying that right, Michelle?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
There are some other apps that Michelle said I'll probably go home and look at and see if we need to add those to the workbook or not. But here are some other places to go. Bible Gateway, I have not been using anymore because it was crashing every single day. So I just have a MacArthur Study Bible, which is great as an app. I think it's like $15 if you want all the features. So, on the first page, we didn't quite look at, but there are specific reading plans. Robert Murray McShane is one of the most famous read through your Bible plans. MacArthur has an actual Bible. It's literally printed in order of every day, so it's all jumbled up purposely. And then there's a great little book called How to Eat Your Bible, and it gives you another way to make your way through reading different chapter or books of the Bible and how to focus in on it. And that was sweet. When my daughter was 13, she picked that out at a book table and really enjoyed it. So some devotional books, if you need a little something to go alongside, like I read scripture, what else can I do? This is what I did when I was in college and early on, is reading a devotional reading of the day. MacArthur has several. He has Strength for Today, Drawing Near, Daily Readings from the Life of Christ. Charles Spurgeon has Morning and Evening. You can get those delivered to your inbox. And then, of course, the Valley of Vision. And if you're more of like a kinesthetic learner and you enjoy writing, I brought this to show you. These are called journables, and they have you rewrite the scripture. So on this page, you would write out Psalm 1, 1 through 6, and you're basically copying the scripture. So a lot of women, not a lot, some women in our church, when Mark starts a new book of the Bible, they'll get this, like say Romans, and they'll start copying it out as something that helps them study the Word of God as well.